Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live with Barrett. Today we're having a conversation with a woman who is a military spouse and a mompreneur. She is the founder of Covered Cubs, which sounds quite interesting, doesn't it? So I want to introduce everyone this morning to Tiffany Eve Lawrence. Tiffany, you're there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, okay, so you have got it covered. You have got kids covered. This is going to be quite an interesting conversation. Can you start off, though, to just give us a little bit of background about your life in San Diego? Are you originally from San Diego, or are you from somewhere else since you are a military spouse?
Well, I am actually from Florida, Jacksonville, which is North Florida. I've only been in San Diego for a year. At the end of July, it made a year. I really enjoy living here and traveling as a military spouse. And before we came here, we were in Japan, and that was a really nice experience. But again, it is nice to travel. But we are, my husband and I, are originally from Florida.
Okay, so you basically come to San Diego and hit the ground running.
Yes,
no relationship, and you have launched a business, and you're a mother, and you're a wife.
Yes. All of those things, yes.
Okay.
I will say that I do have one family
All
member.
Right.
My brother lives in San Diego, but other than that, you know, it's just kind of a totally new experience for me to be here.
Okay. So you founded a company called Covered Cubs. So
yes, ma'am.
What made you decide to put this company together? What exactly is Covered Cubs?
Well, I'll tell you what it is, and then I will tell you how it started. It's basically an infant and toddler brand that I designed to embody and inspire the protective instincts of parents. We want to use our products to give a voice to parents in awkward or uncomfortable situations, and most of all, to propel them to do whatever it takes to protect every aspect of their children's lives, starting from birth. It originated in Japan. That's where the idea came to me, because that's where I had my twins. After I had them, I just noticed that whenever I was out in the public, people always wanted to touch my children. And I know that, you know, when you see two that look exactly the same, it's already an eye catcher and, you know, oh, they're cute and everything. But it wasn't just me. It was other parents that experienced the same thing. And I just wanted to establish boundaries for my kids starting out then, not only for the sake of germs, but for them to have a healthy understanding of boundaries. And when I went to talk to my other friends that were moms, one thing that I noticed is that they didn't want to ask people not to touch their children because they felt like it wasn't nice. You know, they didn't want to be seen as the mean mom or the mean parent. And I wanted to take that opportunity.
Do you think this was something cultural, or what do you think was the basis of that? Of the wanting,
you know,
to
I've
touch.
Been asked that. Yeah, I've been asked that several times because I was in Japan, but it was more Americans than it was Japanese people that would want to touch my children. So it can be cultural more so with some cultures, but I have honestly experienced it with a vast majority of different cultures. Again, I don't know if it's just the fact that they're twins, but with conversations I've had with other people, they encounter the same thing. Some people never encounter it or haven't, and their kids may be older. Maybe it's just in today's time. I don't know. I can't really answer it for you. I can only speak from my experience and the experience of others that I've spoken to.
Yes, that's very interesting, though, that you bring this up, because I read a little bit about Covered Cubs, so I sort of knew, you know, what this was about. But I also want to bring up that I was involved in a conversation, and I think it was only 2 days ago, where someone asked about, and this was in particular, this was a cultural thing, but many things came out of the conversation. And essentially, it was an African woman speaking about Anglo women just sticking their hands in African women's hair and touching them, or asking, "Can I touch it?" And there were many things that came out in the conversation, but one of the things that was talked about, and from a very sociocultural, psychosocial perspective and an academic perspective, was the issue of not seeing that human being as a human being, but rather seeing them as a toy or a thing, an inanimate object, and thinking that you can therefore touch it that you can even ask to touch it. And so I think in a way that sort of applies here, because I have seen people just decide they want to hold someone's baby or touch someone's child, and it is very strange, at least I think. So I think you have something here. I think you really have latched onto something very significant here about the protective instincts of parents. And I don't know that really is anything new or different. I think from the beginning of time, I don't think parents want someone to just come over and touch or take their child.
Right. Absolutely. I find that with moms especially, because the intent of people it's not always that their intent is to spread germs or to do something that they think is wrong. So because of that, it causes the moms to pull back and to not necessarily say, "I'm sorry, please don't touch them." And it's not only with strangers. There are some instances where you may be in a crowd of people that you know. However, you don't know if that person's hands are clean, or you don't know if they're getting over a cold, you know, so you just want them to respect the fact that this is your baby and to at least ask permission before picking them
up. Yes, and we have a lot of people who are popping up now who are unvaccinated, and people are carrying quite dangerous germs that we had eradicated, and they don't know that they're carrying them because they don't know who they've come in contact with, or they may not be vaccinated, and that is a decision you parent really need to make. Who are you going to allow your child to be associated with? Because catching meningitis or measles is it's not fun.
Absolutely
It's not fun at all. That's your child could die from a disease like that. So I can understand. Now tell me, you say it's a clothing line and products. Can you describe some of the clothing?
Right now, we have onesies, and we have an assortment of different types of T-shirts. And what we want to do, one of our graphics on our T-shirt says, "No touching, my mom bites," and it has the lioness on it, kind of in a crouching position, like, okay, if I need to, I'm ready. That's what we have right now, and we just want to create the clothing that sends the same message that the brand represents, even if it's just a shirt with our logo on it, because it's the C for Covered and there's a cub in the middle, but the C represents the arms of the parent lion.
Are there other products besides the clothes?
Yes, ma'am. One of our signature products is our car seat tag, used specifically for babies that sit in a car seat, to address what it is that we were just speaking about, helping establish boundaries. And it says, "Please don't touch baby without permission." So that's one of the signature things that we're selling right now as well. We also have handmade crochet headbands with the little cub ears on the top. And that's just something that's cute. I like to use it when I take my kids out for a morning or evening walk to keep the chill off of them. We're in summer right now, so it's definitely warm. But when we do have those morning chills, it's really convenient, and it's just something, a cute accessory to go with our matching T-shirts.
Okay. Now, let's go to the back, to the business end of this. Now, did you start this in Japan or in Florida or when you got to San Diego?
I started it when we got to San Diego. The idea and, you know, the creation of it started when we were in Japan. The business end actually started here in San Diego.
Can you walk me through that process? I would like you to kind of explain that so that other entrepreneurs who want to do something like this have an idea of how to get this started. But let's take a quick little break here, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
How you actually did this from the business end. We'll be back in a moment with Live with Barrett. We're talking with Covered Cubs founder Tiffany E. Lawrence. Hello, we are back here on Live with Barrett. We're having a conversation with Covered Cubs founder Tiffany E. Lawrence. She is a military spouse and a full-time mom to her soon-to-be 3-year-old twin girls. Originally from Florida, she and her husband have been stationed in Japan and now are stationed in San Diego. She has been here about a year, and she basically hit the ground running and has launched this company, which is focused on parents and their protective instincts with a clothing line and a product line. And Tiffany, I would really like if you could kind of give an overview of how you actually took this from a concept to an actual business.
Absolutely. Well, the concept, as I said, started in Japan. And when we got to San Diego, my husband and I said, okay, we love the idea of it. We love what it is that we want to do with this. So let's start. So the first thing that I did, of course, was looked at all of my ideas, and we started brainstorming for choosing a name. The one thing that made that a little bit more time-consuming was I wanted the name of our company to match the domain name because I knew I wanted it to be an online store. And finding a domain name that's available, you know, is not always the easiest thing. So, you know, it's kind of a juggling act with picking, you know, if you want .org, .net, .com. and being able to match that because I really want it to be a clear message. So that was the first thing. We settled on Covered Cups. It was, you know, something that sparked with both of us, and it totally matched what it is that our mission is, because we want to cover our children and to protect them, as it is our responsibility as parents. From there, we got our business license with the state of California, and then we started to started to create the designs and kind of how, you know, we wanted the look to be. Went forward with getting our logo created, and then traveling, you know, a little bit further north to find manufacturers for the type of clothing, T-shirts, onesies, the feel that we wanted. And, you know, just pricing different things and seeing what worked best for us. And then we moved on to creating designs and getting those made with the manufacturer. And what was next?
Are all your vendors from California?
Yes. Wait. No.
Okay.
The majority, yes. And then the yarn that I use for the crochet headbands is from the East Coast.
Okay.
They're located on the East Coast. Everyone else is in California. After that, then I looked for a website designer to start working on that and, you know, just getting information. You kind of fill out, like I said, pricing and experience and someone matching what it is that you want done. And then I listened. One of the things that really helped me, and I would definitely say this for anybody in San Diego or wherever you are, it doesn't matter. I listened to a podcast of a friend in Japan, but she did with someone here in San Diego. And by listening to the podcast, I was able to link up with the one who does the podcast, because she's in San Diego. She's a mom. She's a business owner. And by just reaching out to her, I was able to connect and find out about a lot of resources located here for networking and business that I didn't know of.
Fantastic, because networking is key.
Absolutely. It really is. And I was at a loss at first. I kind of was like, I don't even know where to start looking. I don't know what to pull up, you know, and I know it might sound simple, but it wasn't for me. And again, once I connected with her, it kind of just opened up a whole new world for me about things locally here that would just help me with business, with information, with resources, with connecting to other people. So that was one of the key things that was really vital for building my business as well.
Okay, so what would you say was your initial financial investment in getting this launch, between finding, getting a business license, that cost money, finding people, finding manufacturers to make the onesies, et cetera, that cost money, finding someone to build your website for you, that cost money. What was your approximate initial investment in doing something like this?
I would have to say between $8,000 and $10,000.
So people need to be prepared if this is something that they want, if they want to do something like this.
It totally depends on what it is that you're doing, what your product is, mm-hmm. how much you want to start out with. Some people create their own website, you know. And, I mean, my husband and I, we work with this together. It's, you know, it's my business, it's my idea, but at the end of the day, we're together, you know, and he's very, very involved with the beginning process and all of that as well, like the business end of it. So we wanted to, you know, we wanted to do it well. And some people are skilled in building websites. They're very tech savvy. You know, I am okay. But for what I wanted, you know, we reached out and wanted to invest in what we have and what we're doing. So one thing that I will say, when we've done events and been out, people don't know that I created it. You know, it looks like an established business, you know, a brand that's been around for a while, and they ask me about it. You know, it just doesn't look like I made it in my kitchen, which is, of course, where a lot of the ideas were made.
Okay,
or whatever,
but that's what you wanted, right? I mean, you wanted something that would be highly professional.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That was my desire. So for us, that was our initial investment.
Okay. And it's an investment that you would say is paying off?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're still growing. We're still doing more ideas. We're still exposing Covered Cubs just to our community because it is new. But I would definitely say that it paid off.
Okay. Something like this. What would you do to get your product into stores?
That's a good question. I guess I would consult the buyer for the store or whatever that location was. Basically, take them my business plan and give them information on who we are, what we represent, what our mission is and our goal, and see if that's something that they were interested in. I haven't done that yet. I've considered it on a couple of levels because, it is an online store right now.
You're more focused on online. What are you hoping for or projecting for in terms of you've made an initial investment of $8,000 to $10,000? What are you projecting or hoping for after 2 years, after 5 years?
2 years. Well, I will say this. My hope is within a year of us being open, that we're able to see profit. At 2 years, I would hope to be at the point where we're able to invest back into the company from that without it being from our personal money, and to actually see it growing from there. 5 years, I want it to be a fully functioning brand that is known for what we represent. I think that within children's companies or businesses regarding infants and toddlers, that we do have a niche because we're not just selling, clothes or things that are cute, which is great, but because of the message that we're providing and our goal, that it does set us apart. So I want it to be a fully functioning brand. I definitely, there are definitely more ideas and more things that we want to launch. But we launched, maybe a couple months ago? Yeah, 3 months ago. It'll be 3 months at the end of August. So we're still growing. We're still new. But that's my goal by 5 years.
What's a typical day for you in terms of just being a mom, being an entrepreneur, running this business? Give me just a kind of a quick sun up to sundown.
Absolutely. It actually starts the night before when I write down the things that I want to do for the next day, because if I don't, it'll just get away from me. Sun up for me starts at about 5:30. That is my personal time if I'm willing to get up that early. So I'll use that time to look over some emails. Send emails, do maybe some social media, and then that ends at about 6 o'clock because my children are waking up. So it's time to get it started. They're usually ready to eat as soon as they wake up. So I get them together, and they'll eat, and then we'll go for a walk because it's time for me to work out, or I'll put them in the stroller and their breakfast as well, and I'll go to the little gym in our area and work out while they're eating and watching Mickey Mouse. After that, come back, get cleaned up, let them play for a little bit, and then I try and do some lesson with them. I'll definitely say that I've been blessed to be able to stay home with them, and I see the benefits of it. My mom stayed home with us when we were children. So there's definitely a benefit to that and being able to invest in their education and our relationship and the quality time and personal time, with my children and knowing what they need as far as learning. So we'll do that, and then they have some free time, and I'm probably cleaning the house or whatever, and then it's lunch. After lunch, they might sit down to watch some TV. And, again, I'm trying to get some dinner ready or cleaning the house. After that, they get a nap. And during their nap, am I taking too long with this? Because I can go step by step with my day.
We have a little bit of time. I mean, it's just
okay,
kind of
okay.
so people kind of have a feel for how you're doing this, and you're raising kids, and you're handling a business, and you have a marriage.
Yes, I do all of that. Throughout the day, though, sometimes I do a lot of the time, actually, I am doing business as well, because it's not easy to get everything I need to get done in that 30 minutes before the children wake up. So after that, they're down for their nap. I'm probably trying to work on some more business, and then they don't always stay asleep. So, you know, they're up and down. And then after that, they wake up, it's snack time, somewhere learning and fun. We'll probably go outside. And then it's time for dinner. I'm preparing dinner because it's almost time for Daddy to come home. When he gets here, he has a little bit of time to, de-stress from his day, and I'm still with the kids. And then we all have dinner. And they have a little bit of TV and some stories. They clean up their room and go to bed, and I am pooped. And that's about 8:30. So my bedtime is literally between 8:30 and 9. Uh-huh. I try to stay up past that.
Well, your day starts pretty early. So this is a pretty full life. This isn't, people normally think of, well, okay, yeah, mompreneur, really ain't kind of doing much, or if you're working at home, you're sitting around eating bonbons.
Not at all.
But,
not at all.
That kind of a thing. So, but it's really not, because in between, you're always having to stick in the work where you can.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
If you had to give some word of advice to someone who was going to start up a company like this, what would be the best piece of advice, the one best piece of advice you would give them?
And they're a mompreneur?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I would say to know their reason why. Like the reason why you want to do what it is that you want to do, and to stay focused on that, because it doesn't always work out the way that you think it will right away. But if you focus on your why and you allow that to sustain you and propel you, then it'll help you to be patient. It'll help you to manage your time when it comes to your family as well, and it will also, it'll keep you settled instead of being anxious, because it can happen sometimes. We have this beautiful goal and dream, and we see the end of it, or at least we see the peak of it. But we have to start, especially with Cover Cubs. This is like new. You know, it's not like something that's already established and I'm becoming a part of it. So I would definitely say to know your reason why and to keep that in front of you and to stay motivated.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's an excellent piece of advice. And you really sound like, wow, your day is really full. I'm kind of sorry to be taking 30 minutes of your time. But I do thank you for taking time to tell us about what you are doing, how you are contributing, because this is also contributing to the San Diego economy. You are a business person. You are a mom, you are a business person. And I think this is really great how you are networking and using your resources, and that you're using California vendors is also a wonderful thing. Thank you so much, Tiffany E. Lawrence, for taking the time to talk with us today. And those of you who are listening, you can go to the website and you can see the links here. Her website is coveredcubs.com, and there are also links on the website for this podcast for Facebook and Instagram, so you can keep in touch with Tiffany. So thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and I am really enjoying talking with the women who are out there moving it, doing it, and just contributing some wonderful things to this world. So
thank you so much for having me
for our next broadcast. And thank you again, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Five, two.